The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
We're going to finish up in Colossians chapter 4 today. I'll be reading from the NIV. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to look at just five verses, verses 2 through 6. But it's going to be a little bit before we get there, because I got to create the conversation here. Got to get to the point where we understand what God is talking to us about in this text. And to kick us off, I want to start with an adaptation of a test that I've given people before about the way they view the world. And you may have to have either do this running number in your head, because you're going to be adding some numbers up, only five numbers. We'll see if you can add them up and get there. And I'm going to give you five questions, and you rank those questions according to what you think about them. I want you to rank them on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 would be you feel very negatively about this topic, and 10 would be you feel very optimistic about this topic. So let me get to the first question. I'll kind of re-explain when I get to that. The number one question is, we're surrounded by flags up here. We had Patriotic Day. And I want to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about the future of this country? Scale of 1 to 10. 1 through 10. 10 means you're idealistic. You think it's going to be the best ever. Our days are yet to come. Or a 1, we're going down the drain. We've been going down the drain for a while. It's over. Okay, that's where you are. 1 to 10. On that. So get that first number down. The second one is, how do you feel about the future of the city of Manny? The future of the city of Manny, 1 to 10. 1 is negatively, 10 would be optimistic, idealistic. Third number you have here is, how do you feel about the next generation's commitment to God? How do you feel about the next generation's commitment to God? And by next, I don't mean the 40-year-olds. I mean the 20-year-olds. Is that three questions there? Four questions. Three, all right. Next one is, how do you feel about yourself and your current place in life? 1 to 10. Negatively or positively? And the last one is, how do you feel about the future of First Baptist Church Manny? 1 to 10. How do you feel about the future? 1 being, doesn't look good. 10 being, best days are yet to come. All right, let's add all those numbers up. You may already have your running total in your head, and I want to see. I'm afraid to ask what your numbers were because I don't want to call anybody out. I'll let the Holy Spirit do that instead of me. But let's just say that your numbers ended up. Maybe you could grunt a little if your numbers is in this. I could hear around the room. If your numbers are less than 30, it's a good time for a grunt. Okay, there's no 30s. How about 30 to 35? If you have 30 to 35, that's the next category. The next category would be 35 to 45. And the next one's 45 to 50. And this is where, this is how we've ranked these. And this is not an unscientific poll, just so you know. But I'm feeling like if you score below 30, you're pretty pessimistic about the future. Don't quite feel so good about what is yet to come, and the best days are behind us. 30 to 35, I think you're slightly optimistic. You see some hope. Maybe all that hope's in the Lord, and none of that hope's in the people. 35 to 45, if that's what your score was, I've got you as very optimistic. You see that things are good, and God is at work around us, and that you can hope for great things. And then 45 to 50, I would say you're a little bit Pollyannic. If you know what Pollyannic means, it means everything's awesome. It's always going to be great. There's never, you're pretty optimistic. You're probably pretty fun to be around. You might not be responsible. Now, I don't know where you scored on this scale, but there's a good chance that if I caught you on a bad day, that you may feel a little bit low on the scale about everything. Maybe you've listened to a news broadcast, or you've read some article or some negative book or something, and it has you way down on the bottom of the scale, and you're feeling bad. Maybe the kids have disappointed you. They've not done something you wish they would have done, and you feel bad about it. Maybe the church is going in a direction you don't feel comfortable about, or you're disappointed in, and you're at the bottom of the scale. And maybe something has happened today that's caused you to look toward some great things that God is doing around us, and you are encouraged. You may be on the other end of the scale. Here the Apostle Paul in Colossians is writing to a group of people that are in the middle of a battle for truth. They're being attacked by false prophets coming in, embedding themselves in the body of believers, and teaching things that are leading them away from the truth that Jesus is the only way to eternity. He's the only way to God. And we talked about that last week, all those things that could be taught, those negative doctrines that would pull them away from Jesus. And Paul is battling this on behalf of the church. He's praying for them. He's teaching them. He's writing them an encouraging letter. And this letter is about lifting them up and getting them into the position that they need to be in as children of the King. Now, if you scored negatively on the poll today, I want to help get you out of the pit. You can get out of the pit today realizing who you are. You are a child of the God of the universe that sent his only son to die for you on the cross, to resurrect him from the dead so that you can have eternal life, and he wants to have a relationship with you personally. That should lift you up some. No reason to be in the dumps. No reason to be fearful about the future, because he holds the future in his hands. He is in control of what is yet to come. He is the God of the wars. He's the God of the peace. He is over everything, and you have him in your life. So that's an encouragement Paul's trying to bring to these people. He's trying to lift them up and get them to the next level. And what he is doing is speaking in a way that changes the culture of that church. I spent a lot of my life and career dealing with culture change, organizational culture change to be specific. And that's maybe that's the reason God brings me in to do interims. And that's been my last season of life, is doing interim preaching. You go into a place, you spend some time in ministry there, and the purpose of that is to lift the lid that Satan has put on top of that church, saying that they cannot be any better than that. They're going downhill. They're not going any direction. Taking that lid off and saying, God is in control of this jar. This is his church. It started out many years ago, 1988. God moved me to a place that to be the campus minister that was in great distress. The former director left in shame. He disappeared in the middle of the night. Left his family, left his ministry, left all of his friends, and went off and did something else he shouldn't have been doing. And I inherited that. I inherited that group of people. I went into the front door of this particular ministry. It'd be like coming to a church. I walked into the door of that church building, and it was as depressing on the inside as it was on the outside before I walked in. The people reflected the state they had been left in, with lack of leadership, lack of hope, lack of focus, lack of direction. They didn't know what they were doing there. They were just gathered together, and this group that once been several hundred was down to about six. I think there might have been 10 there that first day. And they didn't really want to be there. And this is what the Lord said, and he taught me from this passage over the course of time, and all, not just this passage, the whole book, the whole scripture. And day by day, he would lead me and say to me, do this. And I didn't know any better. I'm not sure. I mean, it's taken me 30 years to look back on to see what God was doing at that time in that place. We drove through this town yesterday. It was Arkadelphia, Arkansas. We went on that campus for the first time, and you could not see the sidewalk in front of the building because it was completely covered up in debris and grass that had let grow and not been taken care of. The limbs on the trees, there were limbs laying all over the property. Had a bunch of pecan trees, so you know what that means. There were pecan limbs everywhere. They were down. They were drooping. The building had two pane windows that the seal had been broken, and they were fogged up. You know the look? The whole building was like that. There was one room you could walk into, and if you breathed hard, the lights would come on. It was just bad things happening in the building. And God said to me, and he said, clean up that sidewalk first. So go out there, and we hauled off a pickup bed full of trimmings off of 100 foot of sidewalk. Thick St. Augustine. If I'd known better, I'd have planted that somewhere else in my yard or something. We did that. Then we cleaned up and we painted and we moved old cars out and we put rules up in the parking lot of how long you can leave your car, and we began to clean the inside, and we did all those things. And all the while that was going on, we were sharing the gospel on campus every day. So that 6 turned into 25 within just a few weeks. And then a few weeks after that, it was 50, and not long after that, maybe a couple of months, it was 100. And before we left there, there were 40 to 50 professions of faith every single year in that ministry. And they weren't just professions of faith. These students would go from there to the local church, and we would make sure that they were baptized and they connected with the church. There were several Baptist churches in town that liked to be involved with that ministry, so we would kind of spread that out. And after that baptism, we would all come back to the campus and we would have a barbecue party on the campus to say that we are celebrating this new life that is in Christ. And here's what was happening, and I didn't know it. God was giving us a story, and we were telling the story. He gave us the story of new life. There was a physical manifestation out on the property, but there's a spiritual manifestation going on in the heart of those students. And those students could not wait to tell someone else that they had given their life to Jesus. Do you know who had the idea of the barbecues after every baptism? A student that got saved in the fall semester. He played tennis. He was from Vietnam. He came over and he was ministered to by students, led to the Lord by students, and we took him to First Baptist Church, and First Baptist Church baptized him, and we had a party afterwards, and he said, we are going to have a barbecue. He got in charge of it. He became in charge of it. We told the story of new life over and over, but there had to be a story first. And that's what the Apostle Paul's doing here. He is saying there is a story of changed lives that's being repeated, it's reverberating throughout the New Testament countries, that the Messiah has come and people are giving their life to him and following him, and it's not just happening one-on-one, it's happening 1,000 at a time. People are coming to Jesus. Let me just look at a couple of those stories, and maybe you'll remember about where they are. Well, let's start off with the one that really impacts the whole New Testament, Paul's conversion. Paul was converted in Acts chapter 9. We tell that story. We know that story. Paul on the road to Damascus met with the Lord, and the Lord saved him, and we're still hearing that story right now today. We have the story of the good thief conversion. The good thief conversion, the one on the cross, where Jesus introduced him to eternity. We have the conversion of the Thessalonians, the whole church that happened. That's in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 through 10. You have the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. You have the conversion of Cornelius in Acts 10. You have the conversion of Lydia in Acts 16. The conversion of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. The book of Acts is full of stories. Stories of things that are happening. A narrative that God's at work. You want to see this church change? You tell the story. You tell the story a bunch of ways and often. Acts 2:41. there were added that day about 3,000 souls. We read that and it just brings up emotion in us, a pride, a sense of validation, a honoring of God and His great work and how He works. And these weren't just people that were hanging around church. These were pagans. These were people in rebellion against God. And they came to Him. We have a story to tell, don't we? We got a good story. Some of us might be an old story, but it's a good story. And we need to tell it. And Paul, encouraging the Colossians, he says, this is how I want you to do that. He turns them to people of action in this verse. He says, I don't want you to just sit around waiting for it to happen. We need to, first thing, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. How do you change the fact that there aren't any kids in children's Sunday school here? You can invite them all day long. Some of them will come and they'll go out the back door and leave and not come back. The way you change that is that you devote yourself to prayer. And I don't mean pray just today. I don't mean pray just right now. I mean pray, put it on the list, write it on your refrigerator. Every time you walk to open that door, you see right there on that refrigerator, pray that God brings children to the children's ministry at First Baptist Church of Manny. And that people get saved. You can write right under that, pray that God brings families to this church that want to give their life to Him. Not so this church might survive, so that they might know Jesus and walk with Him. Devote yourselves to prayer. I just don't think I can read that without stopping and praying. So let's pray. Father, we pray right now that You allow us to reach children in this church. That we'll be people that can share the gospel with people boldly. That we would think about them. That we would pray for them. That we would seek opportunities to pray for them, Father, and to introduce them to Jesus. Lord, that we pray for families, that they would come and be a part of this church. Not that we might grow, but they might know You. And Father, we trust You with that. There's no way we can make that happen. We're not as smart as all of us are in this room, Father. This is a spiritual work. And we pray that spiritual things happen. And people are led by the Spirit. And come to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then He gives them some action plans. He says, devote yourselves to prayer and be watchful. Get your eyes open. Get your eyes open to what's happening in a room. When somebody comes in this door and they're visiting, get your eyes open and see that that's somebody that's probably seeking God. Be aware when they come. Be aware when God brings them into your life, when He opens up the opportunity for you to talk to them. I don't know if you go travel a whole lot, but if you do, sometimes you end up in a restaurant or maybe in a hotel lobby or wherever it might be, and there's just that person that will not stop talking to you. It happens to us all the time. We were at dinner Saturday night and Friday night, and we couldn't even get our order in because these people just kept flocking to our table wanting to talk about things. Mostly they want to talk about school, colleges. But that one walked by, heard another one talking, thought it was an interesting topic. You know what that was? An opportunity. That was an opportunity to be aware of because God was at work in the heart of the people that were coming, seeking out strangers, talking to them about the Lord. Opportunity. God is at work. Look for it. He's around you. And when He is, and when He does do that work, to be grateful and thankful. Not think that you did it on your own. Not think that we planned this, we organized this, we made this happen. But just be thankful that God's working. I was on the phone with Karen Sepulveda this week, and we were talking about the Christmas season. We were planning out the rest of the year, putting it on the calendar. And in the course of that, we started talking about ways to make things happy for families and the church and a good season for folks. And by the end of that conversation, both of us were excited about the opportunity that could come in these next 20 weeks. what God could do. Thankful about what God could do. So we're to pray for opportunities, we're to look for opportunities, and we're to thank God for what He's doing. We need to be that kind of church. In action. I had an old man once tell me, we were talking about these two different kinds of organizations, and he was frustrated with this other organization. He says, they can make their orange look like a basketball. And what he's saying is, they tell the story so much, they brag on themselves so much, that it makes it look like what they're doing so much bigger than it is. Well, there's nothing you can say that makes what God is doing look bigger than it really is. We need to be telling the story. Verse 3. Paul turns their action from inward to outward, and he says, I want you to pray for us, because this is what we're doing. Pray for us too, that God may, lays it out. Open a door for our message, that God can open doors. So how many outreach things happened in this community this week? I think I may have to ask. I wish Mary was here to tell me, because she leads most of them. So there's tailgate parties. Or what else is there? There's something else you brought up Wednesday night. The fair. Okay, anything else? There'll be, we got upcoming children's box, the Operation Christmas Child boxes. There's lots of things coming up. What's that? Trick or treat, all right? There's some things that are happening. For those that are leading for that, here's another list for your prayer list. Pray that they have opportunities too. That they have opportunities to share. And that there's an open door for the message. That people don't close the door on them, but they open the door to the gospel. And that they may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Paul's saying, I'm praying that I have the opportunity to share, even though I'm in chains, and I'm asking you to pray for me too, that I have the opportunity to tell people about Jesus, even though I am restricted, that He opens doors. And then verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You can pray that for me, by the way. Early days on, I used to worry about whether I could get my point across. There's some preachers and teachers that'll say phrases like, do you know what I mean? And they'll repeat themselves, you know what I mean? Matt Chandler likes to say, with me? Are you tracking with me? It's because they're not quite sure the people are hearing what they're trying to say. That happens. I pray every week that I'm communicating God's word, and God's word comes through me and to you, and it's not me, it's Him speaking to you. You can pray for that for me every week if you don't mind. Pray that when we preach, that it's clear. It's clear. And then He says back to them, He turns it on them, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. So what we do toward outsiders, what we do with the people that we interact with every day, is integral to our purpose in life. We exist to be ambassadors of Jesus. Paul's trying to help this culture change. He's saying to the Colossians, you can't be people that are fighting all the time. You can't be caught up in these false doctrines. You can't be living in the past and thinking about all the negative. You need to realize the one purpose for your existence is so that people may know Jesus. And do it and live it. And He's changing the culture the best He can. I was listening to an article by the Harvard Business Review. And I do spend a lot of time listening to business books and reading business books and understanding them, how organizations and corporations work and why people do what they do. And you know what this author or this writer of this particular article said? He said exactly what I told you happened at this little campus that I went to in business terms. He He said that a CEO, in order to change culture, must enact actions first. And the actions must be real. They can't be hypocritical or fake. We can't just talk about evangelism. We got to do evangelism. We can't just talk about prayer. We got to get on our knees and pray for people. We can't talk about repentance. We need to turn from evil and turn to God. And when we do that, we're setting the example. He says an organization that changes, a company that becomes a new company that's doing the right things, has to begin from the top. And it not only begins from the top, it has to be real. It can't be fake. Because if it is, people have radar, they can see right through it, and they won't buy in. So this businessman must have read Colossians, must have heard from Paul. You got to do it first. You got to do it first. Then he says this, you got to tell the story, but you don't tell the story. The other people tell the story for you. Other people tell the story for you. So when somebody gets baptized in this baptistry up here, you think that story's going to get told? You bet it's going to get told. It's going to lift everybody up. It's going to lift you up. When somebody walks down the aisle and joins his church, that story gets told. I do not have to be the one telling it. Don't have to be, because the people do. And it's not a story of how great you are. It's a story of how great God is. And he's working among us. I wrote this note to my staff after studying this week and reading that article. Never underestimate the power of a good story. When I'm preaching this weekend out of Colossians 4, I'm going to mention the evangelistic culture that was happening in the book of Acts. It's all Acts is about, and changed lives. I said to them, telling your student conversion stories has never been more important than it is today. Those stories encourage and strengthen everyone around you. So Wednesday night, I shared a story about McNeese BCM. They have a normal Monday night service. They had lunch. Church brought lunch in that day. They had a worship service that night. Someone got up and gave an invitation, told how to know Jesus, and 7 students walked forward and received Christ. That's the story. Changed lives. God's at work whether we feel it or not. Your score is 30, but God's is 100. It's 100 because he knows, and he's in charge. Let's see what we can do to get your score from 30 to 50. Can we do that? Let's do it by praying. Let's do it by praying. Let's do it by being watchful, seeing what God's doing around us. Let's do it by looking for opportunities to minister. And let's do it by praying for other people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and how you speak to us deeply. I mean, even when we don't know what we're doing, you can speak to us. And even when we think we're doing it all in our own flesh, you're still working, Father. And I pray that you would allow this church to have a culture of evangelism. A culture that leads people to relationship with you. Father, that you'd give this church a culture of prayer to where people are on their knees all day, every day, and they're praying for people to know you. And Father, most of all, I pray that we'd have a culture of hope in the future. And that future is eternity with you. And Lord, we trust you with that. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.